Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Hey, Tenderfoot listeners. I'm Liam Luxon, host of Status Untraced, a new podcast brought to you from the team behind Up and Vanished. It follows my investigation into the disappearance of Justin Alexander, a survivalist and world traveler whose life seemed like it was torn from the pages of an adventure novel. While some of Justin's friends and family believe he may have been murdered, it's not clear what actually happened. And a message he left behind just days before he vanished makes everything about his disappearance just strange. Check out this clip featuring one of Justin's friends and their recollection of their final conversation with him.
It was one thing that kind of made me feel weird about whenever he'd talk about his plans for India. And the more I've thought about it, especially over the years, it almost seemed like he was preparing for something because he wanted to be famous. He made that openly clear, like that was his end goal.
When you hear the message Justin left behind, when you hear about the remote and dangerous area where he went missing, when you learn about how the suspects and the police's efforts in this case all quietly started to fade away, you won't be able to stop wondering, what happened? From Tenderfoot TV, Status Untraced is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, or subscribe to Tenderfoot Plus to binge the entire season ad-free. Learn more at tenderfootplus.com.
Warning, the episode you're about to hear involves descriptions of domestic violence. Listener discretion is advised.
If you met Gareth Pursehouse, you'd think he was some kind of model or actor groomed to play the role of Superman. Chiseled face, square jaw, perfectly gelled hair, and well-built at 6'4" with at least a 12-pack of abs. Best of all, you discover that he lives in LA, but he isn't an actor. He's a software engineer. If you're single and he's your type, he seems like Mr. Right. Looks good on paper and in person. But beware to those who date him. Amy Harwick was a renowned sex and relationships therapist in Los Angeles. She had an incredible lifestyle in Hollywood, and we actually had many friends in common. Amy saw the same great qualities in Gareth that I just mentioned at first. But looks can be deceiving. It's only when you get to know someone that you truly find out just who they are. And in June 2011, Mr. Right turned into Mr. Psycho. According to a restraining order Amy filed against Gareth, he choked her, suffocated her, kicked her, slammed her head into the ground, and punched her on multiple occasions. A year later, he pulled her out of a car, gave her a bloody nose, and left her on the freeway. When they broke up, Amy told friends that if anything ever happened to her, it would be because Gareth Pursehouse did something. And then it happened. According to reports, she came home on Valentine's Day, and he was allegedly waiting for her. The body of Amy Harwick was found on the ground underneath her balcony. She'd been strangled and thrown to her death. This happened in 2020, 9 years after they'd broken up. I should say that Gareth allegedly murdered her, since he pled not guilty and is currently awaiting trial. But it would be a sacrilege to her name and her memory to say anything other than what I believe is the truth. Amy Harwick was tragically and senselessly murdered by a stalker who almost a decade after the relationship ended still couldn't let go of his murderous rage.
Detectives say Harwick had taken out a restraining order against ex-boyfriend Garrett Pursehouse, but that order had expired and that she'd recently spoken about fearing him and said she'd seen him a couple weeks ago.
A stalker is not an inconvenience. A stalker is a criminal. Psychologically abusive always, physically abusive sometimes, and all too often would rather end someone's life than move on. So when I found out that Elaine Park had an ex who'd been stalking her, someone who she blocked on her phone, and that this ex had a trial coming up for possession of an unlicensed firearm, I knew I had to look into it, and fast, because he was planning to run to Mexico.
Springtime is all about fresh air, fresh starts, and freshly cleaned homes. And it's the perfect time to give you a fresh look at SimpliSafe Home Security, the only security system I use and recommend. Here's why I love it. Trusted by experts, SimpliSafe was named Best Home Security System for 2024 by U.S. News & World Report, and Newsweek awarded it Best Customer Service in Home Security. The system blankets your home in protection. It has sensors that detect break-ins, fires, floods, and more. Plus, a variety of indoor and outdoor cameras to keep watch over your property day and night. It's backed by 24/7 professional monitoring for less than $1 a day, so you get fast, emergency response and dispatch when you need it most. SimpliSafe professional monitoring agents can even help stop crime in real time by speaking to intruders through the wireless indoor camera, warning them that they're being recorded and police are on the way. With no contract and a 60-day money-back guarantee, you can try SimpliSafe risk-free. Don't absolutely love it? Send the system back for a full refund. SimpliSafe has given me and many of my listeners real peace of mind. I want you to have it too. Get 20% off any new SimpliSafe system when you sign up for Fast Protect monitoring. Just visit simplisafe.com/liveLA. That's simplisafe.com/liveLA. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Episode 4, Chapter 7, The Trial. That's the sound of Susan Park returning to the home of Mike Einziger and Anne-Marie Simpson for a second meeting with the Malibu team, which also consists of myself and Ingrid. Rather than interrupting repeatedly to identify each of our voices, it may be easier to just assume that we're all one voice. Susan has returned because she's at a dead end in the investigation. We've been able to raise some reward money for her, as she requested, but everything else seems to be falling apart for her. First, and most tragically, her hope in the police.
I honestly don't think they're doing anything right now. But, you know, if there's no leads, then it's time for us to say, hey, you know, we have no leads, so here's the reward. Anyone has information, please come forward, because we have no leads. We have nowhere to go. I don't know. I'm just so, like, upset. Like, what do I do? We need to get our heads together.
We'll get to the bottom of this.
She's also not happy with the private investigator, Jaden Brandt.
Oh, you guys know more information than Jaden. I mean, there's a lot of things you guys digged up. I'm worried and concerned because of Jaden's lack of involvement. And, you know, he's departing more and more. It seems like he's losing interest. He's, you know, going into different cases. What are you guys' thought about just letting Jaden go?
Let's reach out to him. Let's see what's going on.
He won't return my laptop and the iPhone. So I'm just so, like, upset. Like, why is Jaden doing this?
We reassured Elaine's mother that we'd speak to Jaden for her and try to get copies of Elaine's phone and laptop so we could all examine them.
I followed up with Jaden, and last Thursday, he supposedly spoke to the detective of the Manhattan Beach South. So he said he claims that he has all the information.
This was the first we'd heard of a police detective in Manhattan Beach, a coastal community over 30 miles away from Malibu, as well as from Glendale, where Elaine lives. It was unclear to us why a Manhattan Beach detective would be involved in Elaine's case.
Apparently, she was with this guy who was 19 or something, and he had a gun. So they were both got arrested, and then she had to, you know, testify against this guy. But the court kept delaying. It was March 22nd this year. She was supposed to mandatory appear.
Wait, this sounds really significant.
What's his name?
I don't know the name.
We sat there with our mouths dropped open. We couldn't believe that Elaine was scheduled to testify in court against someone right before she disappeared, and that this was our first time hearing about it.
So I said, you know, even she's not in this earth, let's say, I wouldn't want to have a warrant in a record to follow her to heaven. I don't want that. I just don't want that. I want to clear her name. You know, what happened? What's going on? This and that.
What's the relationship between...
She says that she doesn't really know him. They were maybe doing drugs or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know. So, yeah, you know, it just clicked on me. Wow, maybe that has something to do with the motive.
Susan had entered the house that day at a dead end, but she left with a new angle for us to investigate and some much-needed hope.
Really, thank you guys. You know, really appreciate all this going on, because honestly, my hopes are disappearing. I'm losing faith because Glendale just shuts everything I discussed.
By Glendale, Susan means the Glendale Police Department.
They don't even want to entertain whatever I tell them. They just don't want to, he just don't want to listen. And it's just weakening me. You know, I'm losing my strength. And by you guys doing this again, you know, it really, you know, I'm happy and gives me hope again.
After Susan leaves, we reach out again to Elaine's friends to see if we can get any information on this mysterious car passenger who Elaine was arrested with. We start with Sadie. Sadie's Elaine's closest friend from high school and the last person to see Elaine before she went to her ex-boyfriend Devine's house that fateful night. We begin by asking her an open-ended question. Was there anyone new or unusual that Elaine was hanging out with before she disappeared?
Yeah, there was just, like, random guys that she would go on dates with, but it didn't really...
Any other names that pop out?
There was, like, a guy named Lolo.
Any thoughts on him in general?
I just think he's, like, weird.
In what way?
he would like always call her, and plus she got in trouble with him. She was pulled over and they pulled out a gun in his backpack and she had no idea.
This was clearly the guy we were looking for.
I was gonna call Elaine's mom or the PI and see if they were looking into him because he gives me this weird feeling how he would like get a hold of her off other numbers when she's blocked, and he would always call her, and he was like obsessed with her or something. It was really weird.
We asked Sadie what she knew about the upcoming court date where Elaine was supposed to testify against Lolo.
They had a court case coming up that he was really worried about. He would just call and ask her, like, what are you gonna say? What are you gonna do? I just think it's a possibility because he was really worried and he could have gone to jail and been in a lot of trouble and Elaine was with him. I don't know. Yeah. I just remember her saying, like, he just says he's gonna go to Mexico and he calls me and asks about it. So he's like tripping out about it.
Did he want her to like do a cover story for him? What did he want her to say?
I don't really know, but Elaine was wondering like what she should say. And I told her, like, just be honest when you go in, like, be honest, like, don't lie about anything. You didn't even know he had that. Like, you have nothing to hide. And she was like, I know, but he's like friends with a lot of like rappers that I hang out with, like underground rappers. And she was just like worried if she got him in trouble.
I mean, the more you talk, the more suspicious I am of Lolo.
Yeah, he was weird. She met Lolo like around the time she got arrested. Like, they didn't know each other for a very long time. And they had like this short thing that was going on for a really short time. And then like, she just got weirded out by him. He was like obsessed with her. She was like, I blocked him off everything and he's still finding ways to call me. He like won't stop calling me. I just feel like he was a troublemaker. Like, I feel like he would do really bad stuff.
Do you know his like social media at all?
No, I tried finding it like 2 days ago, but I don't even know his real name. So if you go like on Instagram under blocked, it says every user. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking like he has to be like,
we can ask Jane to take it.
You want to just text him now?
I'll text him now.
I think she definitely left Divs fine. I just want to find her and find her safe.
After speaking with Sadie, this definitely seemed like a possible motive worth looking into. There have been cases of someone threatening witnesses, or worse, in order to silence them before a court date. But based on our recent experiences, I didn't want to jump to any conclusions just yet. I needed to find this ex who Elaine was blocking, and fast, just in case he really was planning to run to Mexico. Chapter 8, You Don't Know Me.
She ran out of iCloud storage space, and that's why it did not continue to do the backup.
That's Jaden Brandt, the private investigator who's been working pro bono for Susan. I want to ask him what he knows about Lolo, but first I update him on his client's concerns and let him know she wants Elaine's phone and computer back. I also ask for the copies of those devices that they offered to share with us at the first meeting.
So what I can do is, you know, I have the images of the phone from the backup, and I have the computer image that we have now from her existing MacBook. So what I need is I need an iPhone that we can place that image on. Second, need a MacBook so that we can load the image from her MacBook. She's got a MacBook Air. It's 128 gig. But once we get it onto another computer, then we can start to play around with it and see what's there.
So two quick things before I jump off. One is Susan's been upset, I guess, that you haven't been returning texts or calls. So what should I tell her?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, there's a couple of anomalies that I'm trying to put together before I, you know, get back to her and answer whatever questions she has.
Got it. Will do. And also, can you send me any texts and communication you have between Elaine and Lolo?
Yeah, sure. I'll take a look at what I have and get it over to you for sure.
While we waited for Jaden to send us the text exchanges between Elaine and Lolo, Ingrid started researching him. By reviewing the accounts that Elaine had blocked, Ingrid managed to find Lolo's social media profile, photographs of him, and his actual name.
This is some crazy stuff.
What?
This is crazy. So I went into the Sheriff's County website. They have a whole inmate information, so you could just punch in the inmate's name, last name, the first name, and it will give you the information of release dates, any arrests, or any of that. And check this out. It looks like he was arrested in Huntington Beach and was released in Venice Beach a couple days before Elaine went missing.
That's crazy. But the fact that he got out 2 days before Elaine went missing.
We definitely have to talk to him.
Eventually, Jaden sent the texts that he was able to find between Lolo and Elaine. Here are two actors reading just a few of those messages.
So should I give you space or something if I scare you? You make me mad as fuck. I give you so much attention and you don't really pay attention to it.
You're being too crazy blowing my shit up. Please give me some space.
I'm literally going to go to your house and fight you. Hello? Don't wake me up, then ignore me. You better fucking reply, motherfucker. You make me angry at times.
Reading these texts, combined with Lolo's police record, was very disturbing. There were other messages telling Elaine that people are going to die in an attack at a concert she was going to. With Glendale police still uninterested in pursuing this, according to Elaine's mom, Mike Einziger and I met to discuss how to most safely approach Lolo.
We might be better off letting a professional handle this one. Yeah, there's a guy that I know, who I've known for years. He's a private investigator who's handled all kinds of high-profile cases. And, you know, he's ex-law enforcement and has access. And he's really, really, really good at finding people. We've had, like, stalker issues and things like that in the past. And this is kind of like the guy you call to make that go away. You know, if Lolo lives in kind of a more dangerous area, I know that this guy won't have any problem whatsoever going down into an area and finding him and talking to him. I think it's definitely a good call at this point to bring him in.
And what do we do about Jaden?
I think we tell Jaden.
Okay, so I'll call Jaden. I'll share the plan with him, get his okay with it, and then let's send your guy out after this information.
Perfect. That sounds like a plan.
Mike reached out to his detective friend, who works behind the scenes and didn't want his name mentioned on this podcast. We met with him a couple of days later to come up with a plan to confront Lolo.
Did Lolo show up at any of the fundraisers or searches or anything? Has he reached out to her mother or anybody that you know?
No, not that we know of.
He's so stalkerish on the text messages.
And jealous.
What else is like, WTF, call me back now. What do you mean you have bruises on your legs? What does that mean? Were you on your knees?
Yeah. You have to be really, really careful, in my opinion, because of what little history he has. You wouldn't want to have him here. You wouldn't want to let him know too much about you.
Honestly think that Neil shouldn't be talking to Lolo. He's kind of a scary guy.
Thankfully, the private investigator agreed that he should be the one to talk to Lolo.
You hear that? Your dog knows. Spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
At Alma, we know the connection between you and your therapist matters. But if you're already feeling stressed and burnt out, the idea of trying to find a therapist you really connect with can be overwhelming. That's why Alma's focused on helping you find the right therapist for you. When you browse their online directory, you can filter your search based on the qualities that are most important to you. Then you can book a free 15-minute consultation call with any therapist you're interested in seeing, so you can get a feel for whether they're the right fit before you commit to a full-length session. Alma also makes it easy for mental health care providers to navigate insurance. That's why 95% of therapists in their directory accept insurance for sessions, so you can find care that's affordable without stressing about the paperwork. You want to talk to someone, but not just anyone. Alma is there to help you find the right fit. Visit helloalma.com/therapy60 to schedule a free consultation today. That's helloalma.com/therapy60.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The following night, after obtaining the address where Lolo lives with his mother in Englewood, the private investigator Mike hired waited outside the home in his car. The neighborhood is very close to the airport, so you'll hear planes flying overhead. It's also not the safest area in LA, so the private investigator brought backup. Soon, the sun set.
Is that him?
Yep.
An hour later, they saw Lolo walking along the sidewalk alone, carrying a skateboard.
I'm gonna stand outside of the car after these cars get passed.
He waited until Lolo was a few feet away from the car.
Yep, movement.
Then opened the door, stepped out, and confronted him.
The guy in the white.
Yeah. Skateboarder.
Yeah.
Hey, man. We don't know each other, but we're good. How are you? Came to talk to you about Elaine. Got a minute?
How do I know you?
You don't.
How'd you get my number?
Elaine, from her records.
This is a very bad neighborhood.
Well, it can't be too bad. The three of us are here.
So what's going on?
Well, I'm coming to find out what you know about it, if anything.
I haven't spoke to her in like a ridiculous amount of time.
When was the last time you saw her?
The last time I saw her was when probably like I got arrested with her, like being in jail, and that's when I decided I'm not gonna be like around her anymore. After that, like I seen her, like we hung out once or twice, and then like she told me like just basically to stop talking to her, and I was like, that's fine. Like, what is that?
She's missing.
As soon as the information registered on Lolo, he instantly dropped his skateboard.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm serious.
Took a step back and covered his face, which swelled red with tears.
When you were with her, she ever talked to you about being unhappy or
this is not a joke to me at all. Like, I don't know you two. Like,
dude, I'm not a joke to you.
I would literally, like, probably, like, I would hit you guys. Like, are you serious? If you're joking with me, dude, are you serious, sir? Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm serious. And I'm sorry if this is the first you're hearing of it, because I would have thought that you would have heard about it from somebody else.
I think about her almost every day. Like, I'm assuming she went to school. She had a good job. I assume that everything is gonna be fine. She told me last time I was talking to her, she told me she's gonna stop hanging out with people. She's not gonna be on the internet. All these things. I assume she just told me this to me if I could, like, stop talking to her. But I'm okay. It's fine. Is there any way I can help? At all, please? Have a card or something, please?
Yeah, let me tell you what the deal is. She's been missing since January.
I haven't talked to her since before that. I wouldn't. She blocked my phone number. I tried to call her, within the, last 2 months, probably. My phone number is blocked, so I assumed that's just what it was.
So you guys used to do a little lean and some other stuff, no big deal, right?
Oh yeah, I've drank lean with her, I've drank lean with her, a little bit of lean, not anything to the point where we're not aware of what's going on.
Right.
It's she's not the type of girl to be doing drugs to where the point she's something could happen to her. I see a lot of girls like that. She wasn't one of the girls. I can't see her doing that with anybody else. I can't see anybody influencing her to do something that could lead her to this.
So you still have a case pending? Or two or three?
Honestly, I don't know. I had one, when me and Elaine got arrested. That case was ridiculous. I don't know. I got pulled over and the police officers tell me, okay, you're going to jail for a warrant. And I go to the Manhattan Beach Police Office Department. And then one of the detectives is he starts bringing up a gun, and I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm drunk. I came from a concert. Elaine didn't drink, she was driving. I was drunk, so I'm kind of thrown off, and I'm like, what are you talking about? You said you took me for a warrant.
I don't want to stand out here in the street because it is what it is, but I'd love to get a chance to come and privately meet with a couple of people who are really good folks who are putting up their own money to try and help find her.
Yeah, I'd have no problem. I don't want this to happen at all. I would love to help. I would be nothing more that would make me happy to help with this.
Yeah, well, we want to find her.
Yeah, we need to. Just
all right.
This is just nothing I would ever imagine to anybody I know, let alone this specific. The moment you said her name, I knew something was wrong. I knew something was wrong.
If she were going to run away, where would she go to?
She would never do that. She wouldn't be missing, sir. So, something happened, I'm assuming, because she's not the type of girl that would go miss. She wouldn't do anything of that, at all. She would never, she doesn't hang out with people like that. She doesn't, somebody has to know, what's going on. Man, I feel like it's my fault that I just left her alone.
Why would it be your fault?
I left her alone. I was always, looking after her. We're talking to her, making sure she was okay. I just stopped. She wanted space, so I gave her that space. I care about her.
On Lolo's Twitter that very same night, he seemed to have an emotional breakdown. He posted about Elaine being missing. He posted about how much pain he was in. And there's a video of him acting out and basically picking a fight with a fast food restaurant employee. It seemed clear from watching the entire interaction that when the private investigator rolled up on Lolo, Lolo thought he was being confronted for stalking Elaine. He seemed to have no idea that she'd gone missing. His reaction seemed genuine, as well as his offer to help. And this leaves us again wondering what happened to Elaine Park and who is responsible. Coming up on To Live and Die in L.A.
They were in there screaming. She, like, grabbed the glass with her hand to try to get the people out. Her hands were, like, all bleeding.
The fact that there was a hit is significant. Now, these dogs, they detect bodies, they detect blood. They're basically, like, you know, murder dogs.
Definitely destroying evidence.
They're working on writing warrants and really crafting that final plan.
Thank you for listening to this episode. This is still an active investigation, so if you have any information regarding the disappearance of Elaine Park or any of the parties that have been mentioned here, please email us at livediela@tenderfoot.tv. You can call us anonymously at 213-204-2073. Please reach out if you have any information, specifically photographs or videos of the area where Elaine's car was found between January 28th, 2017 and February 2nd, 2017. I've also posted several details about the case. You can find these on our social media accounts at LiveDieLAPod. If you are a victim of stalking or sexual assault, call the National Sexual Assault Hotline at 1-800-656-4673. To Live and Die in LA is a production of Tenderfoot TV and Neil Strauss in association with Cadence 13. Executive producers are Neil Strauss, Donald Albright, and Payne Lindsay. Produced and edited by Tristan Bankston. Consulting producer, Alex Vespested. Mixed and mastered by Cooper Skinner and Devin Johnson. Original music and score by Makeup and Vanity Set, with additional musical services by Tristan Bankston. The theme song is Love and War by Flurry. Cover design by Trevor Eiler. Elaine and Lolo's texts read by Elizabeth Blackwell and Tristan Bankston. And special thanks to Chris Corcoran and the team at Cadence 13, Oren Siegel, Oren Rosenbaum, and Grace Royer at UTA, the Nord Group, Station 16, and Beck Media and Marketing. Please subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts. Our hope is to expose these stories so that we may learn from them and hold those responsible accountable for their actions. Thank you for your support.
Why, hello there. Welcome to Radio Rental. If you're new around here and haven't heard, I'm your host, Terry Carnation. On Radio Rental, we play tapes of the scariest true stories you've ever heard. That's right, we've got real scary stories told by the people that actually experienced them. We've got stories of paranormal peril, near-death experiences, stitches in the space-time continuum, and more. Stories like these.
This person was looking for me. They start to take these long strides towards me. I was freaking out.
We started seeing it everywhere we went. It would be sitting there watching us.
I've never ran so fast in my life.
And it's all set right here at Radio Rental, the video rental shop of your worst nightmares. Radio Rental is available now. Listen 1 week early and ad-free on Tenderfoot Plus.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.